LA are now silent. I swear that man was womankind's first husband.
Oh, Welcome to Give Him the Boot. Benvenuti, Give Him the Boot. I'm Linda Bull. This is CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver. And that was just Michael Occhipinti from the Sicilian Jazz Project CD, Vitti na Crozza, Sicilian traditional tune redone in a jazz way, only the way that Michael Occhipinti can. I'm very excited today to have in the studio a live, very live guest. To my left, I have the director of a film who's been in town for the last 2 weeks, part of the VIFF, Vancouver International Film Festival, which has just finished or is just wrapping up right now. And his name is Angelo Bozzolini. Benvenuto.
Grazie.
Okay, how has your trip been so far? You've had a great visit here.
Gorgeous, gorgeous. Yeah, it was my first time in Canada and I just loved it.
Fantastic. And I went to see your film, The Italian Character, Il Carattere Italiano.
Did you really?
I did, yes. I did enjoy it very much, given that I also am a classical musician, so I had a little bit of a pang of remembrance for that life, actually, at some stage, which I don't play much anymore. We also had the pleasure, of course, of having the producer in attendance, Alessandro Melazzini. Ooh. He's not here with us today, but ciao, Alessandro. Thank you for sending me your musical cuts. Maybe we'll get time to play those as well. I decided to invite Angelo into the studio today to talk a little bit about his musical film, but also about his musical tastes, because, of course, the film is about classical music, but I thought, you know, it's always fun to sort of see what, if you had to choose a few tracks, what would you choose to play on a radio show if you just get a chance every now and then to do this, or maybe once in your lifetime. And Italian music, of course, Italians have their own favorites. So I've chosen a few things, and we'll probably just choose a few things as we go along, maybe. I thought maybe what I'd start with is a track from Francesco De Gregori. Are you a fan of De Gregori's?
Oh, I certainly respect him very much.
Excellent. Well, he has been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah. He comes from the same city where I was born. He's Roman. And a lot of my older friends shared their time in their, you know, when they were young with De Gregori, so late 60s, early 70s. Of course, he's an icon in Italy.
Mm-hmm, that's right, along with, unfortunately, no longer with us, Fabrizio De André, but they are two of the biggest names, I'd say. Rimini, a really older song from, well, I guess maybe from the 70s, late 70s, I'd say. Anyway, this is Fabrizio De André. I'm sorry, I got confused there. I meant to play Francesco De Gregori. I do have one from Francesco De Gregori, and I've got one now. We're going to play Fabrizio De André, Rimini, and then I'll play something by De Gregori.
Teresa gli occhi secchi, guarda verso il mare, per lei figlia di pirati, penso che sia normale. Teresa parla poco, ha labbra screpolate, mi indica un amore perso, a Rimini d'estate. Lei dice bruciata in piazza, dalla Santa Inquisizione, forse perduto a Cuba nella rivoluzione, o nel porto di New York nella caccia alle streghe, oppure in nessun posto ma nessuno le crede. E Colombo la chiama dalla sua portantina, lei gli toglie le manette e i polsi, gli rimbocca le lenzuole, per un triste re cattolico le dice ho inventato un regno che lui lo ha macellato su una croce di legno. E due errori ho commesso, due errori di saggezza, abortire l'America e poi guardarla con dolcezza. Ma voi che siete uomini sotto il vento e le vele, non regalate terre promesse a chi non le mantiene. Ora Teresa è alla risbarra, guarda verso il mare, per lei figlia di droghieri, penso che sia normale. Porta una lametta al collo, vecchia di 100 anni, di lei ho saputo poco, ma sembra non inganni. E un errore ho commesso, dice, un errore di saggezza, abortire il figlio del bagnino e poi guardarlo con dolcezza. Ma voi che siete a Rimini, tra i gelati e le bandiere, non fate più scommesse sulla figlia del droghiere.
Torri alte, un paradiso, crescere sopra isole deserte. Dov'eri tu quando parlavo tanto ed ero solo come una bestemmia? Torre d'avorio oppure nella notte, cristallizzato nella tua agonia. Dov'eri tu vestito da scolaro quando dormivo senza avere sogni? Dov'eri tu col tuo sorriso onesto? Dov'eri tu col tuo vestito hippie? E il tuo ospedale per i cuori infranti, chiusi dentro un cassetto insieme al vino? Dov'eri tu con il tuo buon umore? Tu mi stavi ammazzando, tu mi stavi ammazzando con amore. Ed io dormivo dove era più freddo, dentro il mio pozzo ormai senza pudore, con il mio cuore stranamente nudo, e mi dicevo adesso sì che sto crescendo, e invece era soltanto una stazione, certezza necessaria e sufficiente, utile tutto al più per affogare, per liberarmi da un vestito stretto ed indossarne uno un po' più largo. Dov'eri tu che mi dicevi sempre, guarda che bello come siamo pazzi? Dov'eri tu quando restavo zitto ed ero ingenuo come una bestemmia? Dov'eri tu con la pace nel cuore? Tu mi stavi ammazzando, mi stavi ammazzando con amore. E adesso guarda, ho rotto il mio orologio e ho costruito la mia stanza a specchi, e cullo il mio suicidio come un bimbo che aspetta il giorno che verrà Natale, e non invidio la tua casa bianca, dove resisterai fino a 100 anni, per finire su un letto di granito, con il conforto della tua coscienza, le mani nette e il cuore di cristallo, e i cani abbaieranno a mezza voce. Io forse allora non sarò più niente, solo una X nel ciclo dell'azoto. Se c'è un inferno mi saprà ascoltare. Buonanotte fratello, buonanotte fratello, con amore.
Okay, well, actually, after wanting just to play a certain song, I ended up playing a different one called Buonanotte Fratello, which has a very sneakily similar name to another song by Francesco De Gregori. It's from the album Alice Non Lo Sa. I actually have friends in Sardinia who name both their children after Francesco De Gregori songs, Alice and Ilde.
Real fan.
Yeah, very big fan. Okay, I'm in here in the studio with Angelo Bozzolini, the director from the film that was showing at the VIF. It was the world premiere just last week, the Italian character. Hopefully some of my listeners got to go and see it. I definitely gave you enough warning, told you about it multiple times. It'll probably be out on DVD at some stage in the near future, no, Angelo?
Yeah, it will. It will come out at the beginning of November.
Oh, so soon. That's great.
It's a world distribution, and I'm sure it can be bought in maybe probably 40 or 50 countries all over the world.
Excellent. And it's partly a Rai production, correct?
It is. It is a co-production between Rai Television, EuroArts, actually sustaining the producer, who's an Italian based in Germany, in Munich. His name is Alessandro Melazzini. His company is called Alpenway Media Production. And I thank him very much for the work he did on this film.
Yes, me too. It must have been quite... the word comes to me in Italian, impresa, no? Quite an effort to try and get the money behind something like this, of this nature. And I know that we talked also about the difficulty of funding projects on, say, classical music in Italy, or just in general funding projects, but a documentary of this nature would be difficult to produce, no?
Absolutely, yeah. Very, very difficult.
So tell me a little bit about the film's journey. So you've come here to Vancouver to give the premiere of the film, but now you're heading back today, in fact, this afternoon, back on a plane to the other side of the world. And what's next for the film and for you?
Well, I got a couple of projects still dealing with music, and one is a project I wrote on the Shanghai Symphony Orchestra.
Oh.
And there's another one which would be a very difficult achievement, actually, but it's a TV series on 6 episodes about the point of encounters between rock music and classical music. So one episode might be, for example, you know, the poetry in the music of Franz Schubert and Jim Morrison. You know, how do these two musicians approach to poetry? As you know, of course, Schubert was the master of Lieder, mm-hmm. and Jim Morrison was a very good writer, and he was very much fond of poetry. So because also their biographies have got a lot of similarities.
Oh, that's very curious. I would never have considered putting those two together. Is that actually a pairing that you have in mind?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, right. Interesting. Okay, well, I look forward to seeing that when that comes out, for sure. six part series of the combination of rock and classical music. That's a good idea. You were saying to me earlier that you're heading off to perhaps show the film at a few other events in the future as well.
Yeah, we've been invited to the a very prestigious German festival. It's called the Hof Film Festival, and it was started in the 70s by those masters of cinema under the name of Werner Herzog, Wim Wenders, Rainer Maria Fassbinder, and it's got a beautiful story. Your ascoltatori, how do you say it?
Listeners.
Your listeners can go and Google it. It's a very romantic story of cinema commitment, and that will be the end of August. And then here in Vancouver, the film was seen by the programmer of the Palm Springs Festival, which is a land I've heard of course. I didn't know anything about it, so I had breakfast with this guy. He explained to me and to my fiancé everything about it, and so we're invited. So that will be at the beginning of January, and it's cool because they're showing it, they're supporting the Oscar nominees. So
ooh,
they're
wow.
showing all the Oscar films, so the venue is going to be very crowded, and for sure I'll get to see a lot of good movies.
Oh, that's great. Palm Springs in California. Is it in California?
It is. It's a 2 hours drive from Los Angeles, actually.
Okay, on the border maybe with Arizona or... I don't know. It's quite far inland. I don't know. I should know my North
very
American.
Very ignorant on geography.
Never mind. It's you've got other things to do, like make films, you know. Excellent. That's great news. Well, I can definitely say that the audiences here would have appreciated the film. And given that, I mean, is that in your experience, like from the two events that you had the film showed at, how was the reception?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It was wonderful to at the Q&A because I really got a lot of questions from the audience and a lot of interesting and intelligent comments. And I have to say that generally the thing that pleased me the most, a lot of people thanked me because this film is very much in defense of music. A lot of people told me that they will go to a concert, even if they are not frequent concert goers. They just felt after the film they, you know, wanted to know more about classical music. And so it's the best I could have been told.
Yeah, that's a great response, actually. And you probably maybe deserve a small commission from the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra now for sending some people their way.
Well, any project that has to do with Vancouver, just call me. If any of your listeners has an idea, I'm sure I'll be back. It's a wonderful place where to stay.
That's great. Well, you know, it's funny, but I feel like my head has been full of this film for the past few weeks, and I know quite a lot about it, but some of you who are listening may not have come across it, and you may not have seen it, and I'll just quickly mention the film is called The Italian Character, and it's the story, the subtitle, The Story of a Great Italian Orchestra, and in fact, it is a type of biography, almost, of this film, of this orchestra in Rome called the Accademia, Orchestra dell'Accademia di Santa Cecilia, which is a famous music educational institution, and they have this wonderful orchestra, which has been around for quite some time, has been conducted by many famous conductors over the years, and Angelo's film hones in on the current conductor, Antonio Pappano, who is this wonderful Anglo-Italian, full of life, cherubic looking guy, very energetic, wonderful conductor. And it's really this great interplay between the film shows the personal experiences of many of the, or some of the orchestra members, and also really in-depth looking at their interaction with the conductor and with the making of the music. So it's about how does this Italian character get created, and how does an orchestra have an Italian sound? I found that a really interesting part of the film. I don't know how would you describe the Italian sound or the Italian character if you, you know, now that you've made the film?
Of course, this is the question I've been asking to everybody. I mean, you know, you're a journalist, so when you prepare a film like the one I did, you have to prepare a scheme of questions that you want to change, of course, according to who's your interviewee, but also you want questions that you repeat. So the question, what is the Italian character in music, is something that I've asked to all the people that you see on screen. So, of course, I have to use their words, because they are musicians, so they would probably know better than me, not to you, because you're a musician too. But what they say is full of passion, and they say a lot of positive things. They also say something controversial, like it's not as precise as some German orchestra. But then the heart that comes out, the passion, again, it's a word that I have to repeat. And they're also getting, according to what Tony Papano says, they are also getting to a level of commitment and precision of which he is very proud about, because he really deserves a big applause and all the respect of the Romans and the Italians, because he's dragging this orchestra to tour all over the world, and they are getting an immense response. So Tony really is a wonderful man, he's a wonderful musician, and he's just like you see in the film. He's so sweet, and he's such this energy that he has. So really a privilege for me to have worked with him.
Yeah, that I was thinking the other day when I was talking with you at the Italian Institute of Culture about the film too. You know, what a treat in some ways, although obviously a lot of hard work, to be with an orchestra for a year of your time and to be constantly, you know, invading their world in a way. I mean, very hard for them in many ways to deal with that. I guess after a certain period of time, they just get used to the fact that there's cameras around all the time, you know, or most of the time, and they have, you know, someone prodding them about their experiences. I think, you know, it would be wonderful to be able to see in depth this I don't know, chemistry, I guess, that goes on between a conductor and the orchestra. Interestingly enough, though, Papano only, from what I understand, only conducts the orchestra for a set number of shows, like 9 or 10 concerts during a season, and so I presume he doesn't live in Rome the whole time either?
Probably more, but anyway, he's divided between this orchestra and the Royal Opera House in Covent Garden. And he's incredible because he's a master at this level on two different fields of music, symphony and opera. You know how difficult it is to be at a very good level on both things, and for sure the orchestra loves him. There could have not been this film without the great, more than great, immense appreciation and fondness and love of all the musicians toward Tony Papano, and from him towards them. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful love story, after all, you know. I was talking the other day, somebody said to me, you know, this film about music, it always seems that everybody loves each other. Of course, you will never get anybody saying something back against anybody else. I have to say that with this, it is true what this man said to me, but I have to say that in this film, it would have been false to use any quotation, which I didn't have in the footage anyway, in which somebody talks badly something against somebody else, because you see, it's also their interest. They understand that the work of Tony Papano is developing them very much, and I hope they come here in Canada, hopefully in Vancouver, and you must go and listen to them. I mean, the energy they really give back to you, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I will look them up next time I'm in Rome, see if I can go and see a concert, because I must say I have never seen a symphony orchestra of the many years of the maybe 20 or so times I've been to Italy. Haven't ever seen a symphony orchestra play, so that's on my list, my to-do list. Okay, we should probably play some music, and we can talk a little bit more in a minute. So we started off with Fabrizio. We've got all the F men: Fabrizio De André, Francesco De Gregori, and now Franco Battiato. Fabrizio De André is from Genoa in the north, De Gregori from Rome in the center, let's say, and now someone from the south. Battiato is Sicilian. He actually has quite strong ties with the other performers as well. He's a big fan of and friend of De André, and is famously known for singing some of his songs over the years. And what song did you choose for me to play from his
Angelo? A song which is probably a bit dated. It's a song of the 70s, and this tells a lot about my age. It certainly was very popular when I was a kid, and it's called Cerco un centro di gravità permanente.
Canna di bambù. Capitani coraggiosi, furbi contrabbandieri macedoni. Come dei bonzi per entrare a corte degli imperatori della dinastia dei Ming. Cerco un centro di gravità permanente che non mi faccia mai cambiare idea sulle cose, sulla gente.
Senza serietà.
Okay, that was pretty amazingly cheesy but great song by Mia Martini. Almeno tu nell'universo. At least there's you in the universe is the translation. And it's this unbelievably romantic song, no, Angelo?
Oh, yeah, very, very much so.
Mia Martini was a singer who, she died in the 80s, I think, maybe mid-80s, in a not very positive way. I think, yeah, I'm not quite sure.
Maybe the 90s.
Maybe the
90s? I would say the 90s, but
okay.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I can't remember. It seems like, it doesn't seem like that long ago, but in fact it is quite a ways away. But she was very big in the 70s, her and her sister, also a singer, Loredana Bertè. And that song, I believe, was written by Ivano Fossati, great songwriter, with whom she was also connected romantically. What did we have to say about... I was just talking with Angela. I have Angela Bozzolini, the director of the Italian Character, here in the studio with me today, talking not only about classical music, but also about some of the Italian pop and rock music we're going to hear, hopefully, in a minute, and other music that comes out of a country which also produces incredible amounts of very highbrow music, too. It's quite, you know... I just think it's quite interesting the sort of genres of music that Italy produces, and there is this whole musica leggera field as well, which, you know, doesn't really exist in the same way in English language music. And I'm not sure where it comes from. Maybe the intense romanticism of Italians, or, you know, this is another aspect of the Italian character we might want to consider talking about. But, you know, it's quite, I think maybe for someone of your generation, you know, a lot of these songs are things that you grew up listening to on the radio. Radio is hugely important, you know, in Italy, and it just seems like everybody my generation knows just whole, you know, catalogs of people's music that, you know, in Australia or in Canada might not be quite the same. But I don't know, maybe it's just my vision, because I'm not Italian and I see it from the outside. It's a little bit different. But like when you were growing up, what was your musical exposure? What were you listening to? Like, what were your parents feeding you as well?
Well, from my family background, I certainly inherited the love for classical music. Then on my own, when I was really very, very young, like 10, 11, I was very fond of Vasco Rossi, and I've used one of his songs in my film. And I had to write a letter to him, because when we had to ask for the rights in order to convince him, I was quite happy to tell him that, you know, even if this music was displaying Shostakovich and Ravel and Brahms, I wanted to put him in this, but just because it really reminds me of my childhood. And then I have to tell you the truth, I became very, very soon a fan, really crazy for rock music. So my growing up, it's really much more like the Anglo-American rock between 1966 and 1969. Very much, you know, the Rolling Stones and a lot of those kind of bands. So, but of course, this music we are talking about, this Italian music, it is part of our culture. So any Italian has at least given a kiss, you know, listened to this music, or dated somebody, listened to this music, and, you know.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, I remember the first... I mean, I've been going to Italy for about 20-odd years since I think I was 19. The very first day I stepped off the plane in Rome, my very first time, it was my birthday. It was a very strange experience. I had my birthday in their plane on the way over, and then arrived in Rome at 7 a.m. on my birthday, and had my birthday all over again in a country that I'd never been to, in a city that is unbelievably, you know, fascinating. And it was very exciting. And I remember that, you know, the first times in my 20s when I returned to Italy, I was going out a lot with my friends who were studying at the time, people who I'd met, and they were all university, and we would go out and, you know, listen to shows all over the place, and then, you know, end up, sometimes we go to some place to eat, a trattoria or something like that, and inevitably the songs, there'd be a keyboard, you know, and people would start, or a guitar or something, people would start singing, and it would be all of these older songs, but things like Vasco Rossi, who, you know, has been around since the 70s and is still, you know, a big name in Italy, probably of late for more interesting reasons. He seems to have been in the news quite a lot in the last year or two.
Went a bit nuts.
Maybe a tiny little bit, yeah, a tiny little bit crazy, but definitely, I mean, he's one of those people who, you know, I don't think there's an Italian alive who wouldn't know a song, at least the name of a song by Vasco Rossi. And we found a song by Vasco Rossi that
really?
We're going to play right now.
Wow.
Wow. Called Stupido Hotel. What is this song about? I don't know. I don't actually know the song, but we're going to, let's have a little listen to it. This is Vasco Rossi, who is like a total god of the rock scene, rock pop in Italy. I know maybe two or three of his songs, really, I was never really a big fan. But of course, you know, no one could not know, you know, the classics. But let's have a little listen, and we'll be back in a second. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Give 'Em the Boot. It's usually an hour of Italian folkish music, but today I have a special guest, Angelo Bozzolini, the director of The Italian Character, in here talking about music with me. I'll be back in just a minute.
Sono qui in questo stupido, stupido hotel e non sei qui con me. Tutto mi sembra inutile, tutto mi sembra com'è. Farmi la barba o uccidere, che differenza c'è? Già pronto il piano di recupero, io vado preso e hai sempre ragione tu, per il mio limite, io non so stare solo, vivere insieme a me. Dove? Dove?
touring in support of her critically acclaimed new album, Clover, Jada Kelly's Canadian tour comes to Vancouver. The wolf don't hunt like he used to. Jada Kelly is live at the Railway Club Thursday, October 17th at 6:30 p.m. with special guest Dylan Stone. Clover is available on Divergent Recordings. Tickets available at the Railway Club or online at therailwayclub.com. Joe Satriani is a rock guitar superstar. Don't miss his Unstoppable Momentum Tour Saturday, October 19th at the Vogue Theater with special guest Sit Down Servant featuring Gordy Johnson. Tickets available online at northerntickets.com, by phone at 604-569-1144, or in person at the Northern Tickets office at 918 Granville Street. For more information, visit satriani.com.
Midweek Roots Music Fix every Wednesday evening with Folk Oasis, featuring the latest releases from Canadian and especially BC artists, as well as phone interviews and live studio sets with local and touring artists. Folk Oasis, two eclectic hours of roots music, always a Kumbaya free zone. Wednesday evenings from 8 to 10 p.m. on CITR-FM 101.9 and www.citr.ca.
Do you have the guts to find a cure for Crohn's and colitis? Crohn's and colitis affects 1 in 150 Canadians, so it's likely you know someone with one of these incurable and painful diseases. Show you care by joining us for the annual Gutsy Walk for Crohn's and Colitis Research, Sunday, June 9th. For more information, visit www.gutsywalk.ca.
Di Porretta Terme, provincia di Bologna.
We're talking about Francesco Guccini. Sorry, Angelo, I snuck up on you there with the microphone. We're talking about a fantastic singer-songwriter from Italy, of course, because the show is about Italian music after all. Francesco Guccini, Dio è morto, is the next track we decided we're going to play. It may even be the last track because I'm not sure how long it is. I think it's fairly long. I wanted to thank you so much for coming in on your last afternoon in town, and I know you're heading off to the airport soon on your way back to Rome. It's been really wonderful to meet you and to be able to share in the experience of presenting this film to the Vancouver public as well. I think it was really great. I really enjoyed it, for sure. So grazie mille a voi. Tell me a little bit about Guccini. What's your memories of Guccini, Francesco Guccini?
Well, he is certainly a musician that I respect very much. He comes from the north of Italy, from a region that is quite funny in itself and full of good food and good wine. And as far as I never met Guccini, but I was in his birth town a couple of years ago, and people were talking about him, and I had the impression that he is a nice man, very simple man, very committed to music. And I know I recently read an article in the Italian paper. He decided not to make records anymore and to play live anymore, and you know, the journalist asked him, do you like to listen to your music when, you know, he hates, he told the journalist that he hates when he has to go to restaurants and places and they play his own music. And so he asks it to take it off. They do it, of course, to please him. He asks to take it off because you say, I made it. I wrote it. I made it. Please, I listened to it a lot of times, so please I know it very well, so can you play something else? So
that's good. Well, it's the opposite of someone's, you know, wanting to have their music played, of course. But he doesn't have anything to prove, I don't think, anymore. He's definitely done his hard work over the decades. And, you know, it's interesting you say that about not playing anymore, because Ivano Fossati did the very same thing last year. He decided he was giving his last tour no more concerts. I'm not sure if there'll be any more albums, but he's definitely not going to be touring anymore. So I'm not sure. Maybe these are people who have just decided that they don't have any more that's worthwhile to give, or they've just, I don't know. It's hard to tell whether they're...
It'd be interesting to ask them, because, mm-hmm. you see, it is a difficult moment in Italy. So I wonder how much it's got to do with the situation we're living at the moment.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm pretty sure those guys aren't hurting financially. They probably don't need to put out any more albums, but, you know, you never know. Okay, that's all from me. I'm going to play this last track, Dio è Morto. It's a classic by Francesco Guccini. One more time, thank you so much, Angelo, for coming in and talking to me.
Thank you for inviting me.
It was really lovely to meet you. I hope you had a really great stay in Vancouver, and I look forward to seeing you. Maybe we'll go to see a show at the Accademia di Santa Cecilia when I'm in Rome.
It'd be great.
Okay, ciao, ci vediamo presto. Thanks everyone for listening to Give Them the Boot. I'm Linda Bull, and every Tuesday from 2 to 3, you can listen in and usually listen to Italian folk music, sometimes a little bit of singer-songwriters. Today we've been focusing on the singer-songwriters, but I look forward to being here again next week, and then I'll be away for 6 weeks while I go to Europe, including Italy, and then I'll have some more music for you when I get back. Ci vediamo la settimana prossima. Ciao a tutti.
Ho visto la gente della mia età andare via lungo le strade che non portano mai a niente, cercare il sogno che conduce alla pazzia, nella ricerca di qualcosa che non trovano nel mondo che hanno già, dentro alle notti che dal vino son bagnate, dentro alle stanze da pastiglie trasformate, lungo alle nuvole di fumo del mondo fatto. Essere contro di ingoiare la nostra stanca civiltà. È un Dio che è morto ai bordi delle strade, Dio è morto nelle auto prese a rate, Dio è morto nei miti dell'estate, Dio è morto. Mi han detto che questa mia generazione ormai non crede in ciò che spesso ha mascherato con la fede, nei miti eterni della patria o dell'eroe, perché è venuto ormai il momento di negare tutto ciò che è falsità, perché di fatte di abitudine e paura, una politica che solo fa carriera, il darwinismo interessato, la dignità fatta di vuoto, l'ipocrisia di chi sta sempre con la ragione mai col corpo. È un Dio che è morto nei campi di sterminio, Dio è morto coi miti della razza, Dio è morto con gli odi di partito, Dio è morto. Ma penso che questa mia generazione è preparata a un mondo nuovo, a una speranza appena nata, ad un futuro che è in mano, a una rivolta senza armi, perché noi tutti ormai sappiamo che se Dio muore per tre giorni e poi risorge, in ciò che noi crediamo vi è risorto, in ciò che noi vogliamo vi è risorto, nel mondo che faremo vi è risorto.
Assettata guarda tutte cose, tutte parole che niente buono fa, si ma ci città che lo poche libertà
questa terra e sta gente, noi orna madara, terra mia.